States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we conclude our review of the American performances at this year's Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games in Normandy, as we hear from Laura Graves, Stefan Peters, and para-equestrian Sydney Collier. Sydney finished 9th in the team and 11th individually, riding Willie Wesley in the Grade 1B competition. Welcome to the program, Sydney.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, that really was quite an experience for you over there. We want to talk about how it was for you. You, first of all, were in training in Germany. Tell us how that went in your preparation and what it was like to be a part of the team.
Training in Aachen was absolutely amazing. We had great accommodations while we were there, and it was a training camp that the whole team really began to function as one, and it was really awesome to see how we grew together so quickly and how well all of the horses traveled, too. It was really awesome to see and made us extremely thrilled.
Well, you had an experienced campaigner. I believe Willie Wesley is, what, 14 years old now?
Yeah, he's 14 years old, and actually he's owned by a very nice girl my age down in Texas, Victoria Dugan, and he is absolutely incredible. He definitely got the heart and spirit of a competitor, and he loves the environment so much.
Well, how was he in the preparation then? Did you feel when you got to the games that you'd done everything you could do? He was feeling fit and ready. What was his final preparation there before the competition like?
We worked him every day up until the competition. And I think that we walked into the competition extremely well prepared. And he just really pulled through and was amazing about it.
And what about competition nerves, though? Did he feel the atmosphere there at the Prairie race course?
You know, he felt, I don't think that he felt the nerves so much, but as I said, he's quite the showman, and he feeds off of the atmosphere. He's actually done I-1 and several other Grand Prix shows, and so he really loved the atmosphere of going into the show ring with all the people in the stands, with everyone watching him, and he really loves that energy.
Well, how about you, though? Was it obviously a nervous time for you? How do you deal with your pre-competition excitement?
You know, actually, part of what my stroke did was knock out all of my nerves and also my scared feelings. So actually, when it came to this experience, I was really more excited than anything about nervous or anything like that. And so for me, it was really trying to channel that excitement into a more zen energy so that the horse wouldn't feed off my excitement and go in tense and frazzled.
So obviously you were very composed then and you could really focus on the job. That's an advantage for you because I'm sure there were many other competitors there that were feeling the pressure of that environment and being on the team, but you must have handled it all very well. And how did that test actually ride for you?
My first test actually rode extremely well for me. It was a really, really experience for me to kind of, especially after I rode it, to step back and think, wow, 4 years ago I was sitting in Kentucky in the stands watching all these para-equestrians show, and now I'm here showing and competing with them. It was really incredible to take a look back at that, and the horse, Willie Wesley, was absolutely incredible for me, and it went so well for our first ride at a wag.
So when you say it went very well, what do you put that down to? Was obviously his experience, you were composed, but, you know, it's still a special occasion being on a team representing your country. Did you not feel any of that pressure? Did not affect your riding? Huh?
You know, to a certain degree I did, but in this being my first major competition with a team, it was not so much pressure as being honored to be on a team with such incredible people and such incredible horses. It really always brought a smile to my face. And the pressure, I'd say, I tried to ignore it as much as I possibly could and just tell myself, you know, it's a different venue, but the rings stay the same, and so it's just like any other competition, really, and just ride it like that, not get over tense about it or over focused on the pressure, and just have a good time, really.
You're just playing in another sandbox, right?
Exactly. They're all the same dimensions. You just have to play the mind game with yourself about no need to worry. You're just here to do your best. And I'd say that the team I was on was really incredible about keeping me in that mindset, because we all just grew together as a family, basically. And I'd be honored to be on another team with any of them. Honestly, it was so great to have that be my first experience.
Well, that was obviously the grade 1B team test for you, your first competition there where you finished 13th. But that must have given you some confidence as you went forward to the individual test.
It did. Really, it made me so happy because I was in the largest and most competitive grade. And so it definitely gave me some confidence, but I didn't want to weigh too heavily on that confidence and just basically kept myself thinking on what I needed to improve upon for the next test.
Well, you certainly did. Obviously, you were just over 65 in that team test, and you moved up there to 9th place in the individual test with a score of 68.103. Tell us how that rode for you, and what was the difference for you between that team test that you rode and the individual one?
You know, I really, since we had a day off from competing in between, we schooled what I needed to improve upon, and I really took the time to get in the zone even more and just focus on what needed to improve and what I needed to focus on most. And it really helped getting even more into the Zen mindset of just go in and do the best you possibly can. And the day in between really helped because I got to ride Willie Wesley and school him and really get him into the same mindset. So we went into the individual test with much less tension and him way more prepared since he got to see the ring during a competition day. And he just amazed me, and I amazed myself, honestly. And I'm so proud of both of us.
Well, you absolutely have every reason to be with that 9th place finish in the world. As you say, a very, very toughly fought contest in one of the most difficult of the grades there, 1B, in which, of course, Olympic champion Lee Pearson won a game for Great Britain. But that must have been a terrific honor for you to be in that company, obviously, and a lot of experience to take away. What would have been the biggest of those and most memorable experiences that you would take home from these games?
I would say all of it was really the trip of a lifetime. But one of the parts that actually sticks most in my head was opening ceremony and getting to walk in the parade. And being with all the teams who had worked so hard to be there, and with the stands full and everyone cheering, it was really when it first hit me that, wow, I'm actually here. And wow, it just, that's kind of where it all culminated. And when I realized, yeah, we're actually here. Now we get to do some riding. And it will always, the entire experience will always be in my memories. And it just was a great first experience. And I'm really looking forward to working as hard as I possibly can to be in the Paralympics in 2016. And I'm already back here in New York riding my horse Wentworth. So we're getting all prepared for it and showing all over the country and maybe even in Europe soon.
Well, obviously, big plans, lots more to come from you. And obviously, we hope that you'll make the team again, Sydney. But again, congratulations on your performance at the World Equestrian Games and the very best of luck for the future and the rest of this season with your horses.
Thank you so much.
Stefan Peters and Legolas finished 8th in the Grand Prix and 10th in the Grand Prix Special and the Freestyle. And he joins us now. Stefan, you're probably very glad to be home after such a long trip to Europe.
Yes, Chris, you can say that again. It was a long time on the road. But, you know, it really was all worth it because the results in France really spoke for themselves. And I still think that even with a few little setbacks, it was worth every single minute.
Well, a few little setbacks was your little bump in the road a few weeks before the games. That obviously was a bit of a nuisance, and you were quite ill, weren't you?
Yeah, it's one of those things. You know, the Germans have a saying, you can't listen to the church bells all those years. Once in a while, you got to pull on the rope. And that's exactly what I did. You know, we had the show in Austria, and thank God I felt pretty good during the show, but on the way home, had some flu symptoms and some pretty good fever. You know, those are the moments when your mom tells you, look, if you keep pushing it, you're going to get pneumonia. And you know what? She was absolutely right. I kept pushing it for another 3 days, and on Thursday, I found myself in the hospital in intensive care. And by Sunday night, thank God, the antibiotic kicked in, and Monday morning I was actually feeling a little bit better. And this was the week before Aachen, so I call up Robert, and I said, Robert, I'm feeling a little bit better. Do you think you would let me show in Aachen? And he said, well, let's do this. Let's talk to the doctor, and if he gives his okay, then we'll go from there. So I call up the doctor and try to have the doctor a little bit to give me, you know, some positive recommendations. And the doctor says, look, I know a little bit about dressage, and I know about Aachen. And if you want to die on a horse, then you should compete in Aachen. And I said, maybe we'll skip Aachen this time. And needless to say, there was no need to call Robert. And I learned at that time that it would take at least another 3 weeks to be somewhat coordinated and strong enough and in the saddle. So, it, you know, it was a good learning lesson. And next time I have a fever, I'll certainly take it easy.
Yes, there are times when you just have to listen to your body, no matter how fit you are as an athlete, too.
Yeah, exactly. And that, you know, that helped quite a bit. The fitness level before the pneumonia was good. And then as soon as I got the okay from our team doctor to start running again, I could barely make it 2 to 3 minutes. And, you know, I still had some problems in the afternoon where I felt like I was passing out. And I went back to the hospital a few times, and they kept checking the oxygen level in my artery. And they said, even though you're breathing normal, your lungs are simply not producing the oxygen that you need. And that was a bit frustrating. But thank God, all is good now. And after 3 weeks, we had the show in Fairden. Legolas did great there. And then by the time the World Games came around, I was back to 100%.
sort of fit and strong and ready for that team performance, just missing out on the medal, but obviously you must have been pleased with the place that you got because you were back in full health and able to make the team. Tell us about the competition as it unfolded for you with that Grand Prix to start with, Stefan.
You know, I was very proud of Legolas. You know, during the trot work up to the walk, he was at a 78%. And then unfortunately, we had that little mistake in the 110 beat. But it was a great supporting team score for our team. And you know, it was just so exciting to watch Laura go in before, you know, and scoring already 74. And then watching her again in the Grand Prix Special was just one of those real amazing things. It's like that situation when you watch your favorite sports team do really well, win. You know, it's like that euphoria that you feel, and that's been a long time for the United States. So I'm super excited that we have now two horses that can go over 75%.
Well, obviously, special moment for you, but to watch another young rider coming up and giving you a run for your money too, I mean, that was very exciting for everybody, but it must have given you a moment of thinking, my goodness, we really are raising the bar here as a team.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and I had the honor to be the anchor rider since 2006. And I told Laura after Aachen, I said, Laura, I think this can change here. And it wouldn't surprise me if your score will go above Legolas here very soon. And she totally deserved the score in the Grand Prix Special. And then I was even more excited when she got an 82 in the freestyle. This is just a great moment for the U.S., and such a huge boost for next year for the Pan American Games and then hopefully on to Rio, you know?
Absolutely. Well, as you mentioned in the special, she did overtake you there with the 77 against your 75 with Legolas. But talk about his performance in that and then going on to the freestyle. How did he feel? Because it's a long week for them, isn't it?
Yes, it's exactly right. You're exactly right. It's a long week. And the Grand Prix Special is such a demanding test. And we did get the 110 piece on the diagonal. We had one short on the center line. But same there. Until then, he was at a 77% as well. And then for the freestyle, I still had a lot of horse underneath me. He wasn't the slightest bit tired. And it is always a good feeling, you know, like you said, after a long week, that they're still there for you 100% through the very last salute.
And then going into the freestyle, and usually it was during the day, we have had it as evening sessions at World Games before, but nonetheless, there was a huge crowd, a terrific atmosphere in the Stade d'Orano.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It's the noise when you were done with your test, the Grand Prix or Special was already quite loud, but I'm not sure how many seats there were available. I think there were 40,000, is that correct?
I think it was, yes, about 20,000, was it?
20,000, okay.
Or more.
Well, it felt like 40,000. That's what it sounded like. I can tell you that the crowd was so into it, and it's just so neat to see that in France being a foreigner and then getting this support. So the atmosphere was fantastic. The stall for outstanding footing. The camaraderie in the team was outstanding. It really was, from the beginning till the end, just one great trip.
Well, obviously, you know, you were working there with people that you'd worked with for many years, and lots of memories from other championships. But what stands out most of all for you from these games, Stefan?
You know, I've been working with Jo Hinnemann for 30 years now. And, you know, still after all those years, this work with Jo is so extremely special. Then, you know, having the support from Shannon, who's, for instance, coaching from the side of Jo's from the front. And I have to say, Robert needs all the credit in the world, how he supported this team and fought for the team like a lion. If there was anything negative he said, or if some of the judges' comments weren't something that he didn't like, he didn't fight for it, but he always made sure he went to talk to the judges and gave us good feedback. So, you know, Robert has done, from the first day when he took the job, he simply did an off job, and I really hope that he doesn't retire before I do. And, you know, it was simply, like I said, a great place in Belgium that we had. It was a super place for our training camp. And, again, even though with a slight setback, I love every single minute of it.
And souvenirs? Did you bring some souvenirs home for everybody who are looking after them? I mean, the team is so important back home to keep things ticking over while you're away for so long, but I'm sure there had to be some nice French souvenirs for them.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Shane and I, we always make a point of bringing a lot of shirts and hats from each major championship. So we did exactly the same this time. And what was so exciting, I had a few days after the dressage competition was over, I had another week that I spent in Cannes because Akiko's daughter, Mickey, she was on the vaulting team. And so I had a little time to be a tourist. And it was just absolutely wonderful. And since you asked me for the highlights, to watch Mickey at 10 years old compete with her team was absolutely fantastic. I never really watched the vaulting team that much before, but now I'm not just watching it, I'm actually a vaulting fan.
Right, so we might see some... Well, you're in the right place, of course, in California, so we might see some vaulting from you as part of your new fitness regime.
I doubt that very much. That the deal that I made with the vaulting team next time I'm in the Woodside area, I would just like to practice my mount, because that's something else I always wanted to do, but I can guarantee you any of the other movements on top of a horse, I don't think anybody needs and wants to see. But I made the promise that I would go over to the vaulters and try to jump on a horse from the ground.
Well, terrific. Always a great team player, Stefan. Again, your contribution to the team is valid, and I want to congratulate you on the performance there and hope you have better health now and soundness yourself, as well as fitness, as we lead up to the next challenge here, the Pan American Games in 2015. Good luck, and thank you for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Laura Graves was not only making her team debut at this year's Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games, but it was the first year at Grand Prix and her first time competing overseas. Riding her own Vedardis, she finished 10th in the Grand Prix, 8th in the Grand Prix Special, and 5th in the Freestyle. Well, Laura, that was a terrific performance. Are you still reliving all of the tests?
Thanks, Chris. I guess there are definitely parts of it that I relive. The exciting parts, as well as sometimes when I have free time, I watch the videos and think about my training for the fall.
So your takeaway then, obviously, apart from the excitement of the occasion, it was what you'll now be working on in the future with Vedardis.
Yeah, for sure. And I think having this confidence now in our performance, we can focus on the things that can take it up another notch. And, you know, it will only be our second year in the Grand Prix, so hopefully we can improve on the scores where there's room to improve.
Well, clearly it was an outstanding performance, the best-placed American. As I said earlier, it was just something that, you know, will live with you forever. But it must obviously have been a huge occasion, too, to make your team debut and come away with such a result. What were your biggest experiences of the four? I mean, obviously you were there for a full week, and you didn't always have great conditions that week, did you?
No, the weather, as far as the weather conditions went, we did see an extreme amount of rain, but the stables were really comfortable. We had nice weather for opening ceremonies. That ceremony is something I will always remember. You know, I hope it's not my last opening ceremonies, but the feeling of seeing American flags waving in the stands, being so far from home, is just so touching. And, you know, the competition itself is world class.
Well, it clearly was, but how did it feel like to be competing with that kind of company? You've gotten used to them a little bit in Aachen and Fritzen, but it was your international debut as well. How did that feel to be in that environment?
I mean, I think I'm the kind of person who likes a challenge. I think I perform best under pressure. I procrastinate a lot, and so when push comes to shove, I feel like that's when I thrive. And so I guess it's maybe easy to maybe be overwhelmed or intimidated by riding against people like this. And if you keep your expectations, what's best, you know, the best that you can do, the best your horse can do. And I just use it as motivation and instead of, you know, a threat.
Well, clearly you have a wonderful partnership with your horse, but you've had him a very long time. Tell us the story of how you found him.
I've had Verdade. We call him Diddy. I've had him for 12 years, ever since he was a little weanling foal. We found him when I was just a teenager. We had an agent who sent us lots of videos of foals from Europe. And because they're foals and you can't obviously take them for a test ride, it was something we selected right off of a videotape. We imported him in the fall, and he spent, you know, most of his youth just growing up in our backyard.
Well, that's a long journey for both of you, but clearly, as I said, the partnership has really cemented, and that's really what pays off, doesn't it, when you get to a big occasion like this. The harmony that you two had was clearly evident.
Thank you. I really couldn't imagine doing it with a horse that you didn't know this way, because it can be so overwhelming emotionally. And then the venue can be overwhelming. I couldn't imagine having a horse as sensitive as my horse is and not knowing what to do in the moment where there's a little hiccup. And so I'm just so thankful to have my first team experience with a horse like this. And of course, he's very special to me, regardless of how good he is at dressage. So that made it even sweeter.
Well, obviously, whilst you're on the team, you have the help of Robert Dover and Debbie McDonald, but who would be your regular trainer and who has influenced you most in your career?
Actually, Debbie is my regular trainer. I've had a couple coaches along the way. When I was a young rider, I had a little quarter horse. And when I moved here to Florida, I spent a few years working with Ann Gribbins, with this horse I have now. And then I spent a year by myself when I started my own training business. Before I was able to hook up with Debbie, and we really didn't get into a groove until probably the beginning of January of this year. But she now has made time to work with me and obviously came over to help both Adrian and I at the WEG, and she was also with us at Aachen. And she's just incredibly generous and has a teaching style and a training style that works for us.
Well, obviously it was a big occasion, but to have your trainer there must have helped enormously. But how did you feel that you handled the big event when it was your team debut? There was so much pressure on you because it also, obviously, you were on the team as well as your individual performance. How did that feel for you?
I guess it was a lot of pressure. I internalized a lot of things, and so I wasn't expecting to be as nervous as I was, because I really was pretty nervous going into the Grand Prix on Tuesday. And really, really thankful that Debbie could be there to warm me up. And she had been with us I think, for a total of almost 2 weeks, including the week at WEG. She came the week before WEG when we did a test run at the stable in Belgium. And it just gives you a confidence that you know what you're doing. And Robert is the greatest cheerleader, and he has a great eye, too. And to have them together is really a recipe for success, I think.
Well, it proved to be, I mean, to finish fifth in the world, not only in your first team competition, but also international debut. Was that something that you ever thought you could get close to when you started the week?
I mean, I think when you put yourself up against these top riders who are posting such huge scores, and they do earn these scores. I mean, when you see these horses go in person, you understand why Vallegro is a 90% horse. It's always been a goal. I didn't think that reaching it at the WEG was maybe realistic. But, you know, we did our homework. We came back to Belgium from Aachen, and I did not do a competition in between there, and we focused almost completely on my Kerr. We reworked the choreography. I worked with Marlene Whitaker to make the music something that was really special. And I'm just so, you know, it proves that when you do the work, you'll see the benefit.
So what would be your biggest takeaways then and fondest memories of the whole experience, Laura?
I think I had a great experience being on a team. I got to travel Europe with the best American riders and to get to know everyone on a personal level, you know, outside of competition and outside of horses, who these people are. You meet some really good people, and it makes you proud to do what you do. That's something that I think is really important and, you know, that the U.S. can be proud of. And also, as far as dressage and the competition goes, I think you come back with a whole new fire. I think that it makes you, you know, you don't just go in to have a good ride. I'm going to go in to have a great ride, and we're going to go for 90%. So it just makes you even more competitive, because even if you win here in America, you want to win in the world, or at least I do now. So it just makes me even more competitive than I was, I think.
Well, as you said, it's given you an enormous amount of confidence, as one would expect, and there are things that you're going to take away from that experience to work on now as you go into the winter season. And now, obviously, he has a bit of a holiday. When will he come back into work?
I guess I will wait and see a little bit how he feels, how wild he gets on this vacation of his. I don't want him to completely lose his fitness level, so we will do a lot of walking. And then, I don't know, I guess my plan, if he stays, you know, not being too wild in the paddock, I would like to give him another 2 weeks of just hacking and a little bit of fitness work, and just give him a break from, you know, the 20x60 arena that he has spent so much time in.
And what's in line for you now? Lots of other horses to work, clinics, teaching?
Yeah, all of the above, which is really exciting for me. We are trying to move into a new stable, which will allow us to expand our training business and you know, bring in some more horses, which will hopefully be just in time for to get everyone ready for Florida show season. And there's riding, there's teaching, and lots of clinics, which I hope to not have to do any when show season comes around, so I can just stay here in Florida and focus on the competition horses.
Terrific. Well, it's been an amazing year for you, Laura. Congratulations again on your success at your team debut. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you so much.
And coming up on the show next week, we'll hear from Alison Head on dressage seat equitation, which coincides with a feature in the USDF Connections September magazine on equitation, not just for hunt seat riders. We also have a session from the 2013 Adequan USDF Annual Convention entitled Degenerative Joint Disease in the Performance Horse with Dr. Victoria Maxwell. All that to come on next week's show. Don't forget these podcasts are available for download on iTunes to your smartphone podcast apps. And be sure to visit eTrack, the USDF's online learning center and resource for dressage and equine education at usdf.org. The USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.